G'day you mob, Pete here, and this is another episode of Aussie English, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English. So today I have a Goss episode for you where I sit down with my old man, my father, Ian Smithson, and we talk about the week's news, whether locally down under here in Australia or non-locally overseas in other parts of the world, okay? And we sometimes also talk about whatever comes to mind, right? If we can think of something interesting to share with you guys related to us or Australia, we also talk about that in the Goss. So these episodes are specifically designed to try and give you content about many different topics where we're obviously speaking in English and there are multiple people having a natural and spontaneous conversation in English. So it is particularly good to improve your listening skills. In order to complement that, though, I really recommend that you join the podcast membership or the academy membership at aussieenglish.com.au, where you will get access to the full transcripts of these episodes, the PDFs, the downloads, and you can also use the online PDF reader to read and listen at the same time. Okay, so if you really, really want to improve your listening skills fast, get the transcript, listen and read at the same time, keep practicing, and that is the quickest way to level up your English. Anyway, I've been rabbiting on a bit. I've been talking a bit. Let's just get into this episode, guys. Smack the bird, and let's get into it. So the last story here was about muck-up day. Did you see anything come up recently? I noticed
I saw today. A few things come up, yeah.
So, there were some stories. I guess we can go over the-
This one is bizarre, though.
But I was going to split this into two, but we'll do the second one
This isn't
first.
Even my idiot of the week.
Yeah, we can do that at the
end.
This
is idiot of the year. Hands down, clubhouse leader, and we only have a few weeks to go, but-
Just wait.
I will. I'll hold off. This is a teaser.
We had Sydney's Elite Shore School. We had issues with them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, this was a few months ago where they had some really big scandal. I think it was only a handful of boys, I would imagine.
They are. It's all boys' school.
Yeah. And so, what came out was that there was a list of pranks that these boys had to do on muck-up day to try and score points. So, it was like a scavenger hunt. I think they called it the Tri-Wizard Shornament or something, where they were meant to meet up in the morning, go to a park, get drunk, spread out through the city, and then carry out these dares and pranks, which included things like-
Half of which were actually illegal, like criminal offences.
Well, one of them was like getting arrested and handcuffed, which you assume you need to do something illegal.
You need
illegal
to commit something illegal.
Breaking into Taronga Zoo, taking ecstasy or snorting cocaine, spitting on a homeless man, drinking a bottle of vodka and having sex with an older woman.
Yeah.
So, these- and the list was like 100 things long, right? And so, I think it got leaked from one student to his parents. The parents called the school. The school shat themselves and was like, anyone who does this is going to be expelled.
Down. Yeah.
And they told the police.
Yeah.
And so, it was a big scandal in the news. But then, I think only today, this story came out where Mallacoota College has been investigated after a sex doll was found reported. I think someone took a photo on the school campus. And so, Victorian education officials are investigating after primary school children saw teachers and older students-
I should say, Mallacoota College is a P-12 school. So, it's got 4-year-olds to 18-year-olds at the school.
And this sort of highlights some of the problems there.
Yeah.
So, the older students and teachers were seen with an inflatable sex doll during muck-up day celebrations. The Department of Education and Training has appointed an external law firm to investigate the end-of-year celebrations for Year 12 students at Mallacoota College, and it's about 600 kilometres east of Melbourne. And this is the town that was known for the apocalyptic fire photos.
Yeah, this is
that
the one where
out.
The Navy came and literally rescued people
off the beach. Yeah.
To get out of the town in January in the fire.
So, apparently, what's happened is that there were several teachers and the principal who participated in activities during lunch break that involved this sex doll that is effectively an inflatable woman who's naked with- many holes
various
in
various orifices.
Yeah, and
could be used for the obvious purpose.
It was hard not to sort of giggle a little bit.
One of the lines, though,
before you get into it, was a parent who didn't want to be named told the ABC that their young child had come home and described the naked female doll as having a lot of holes and lipstick. And you're just like, I can't imagine that conversation.
No.
Of just being like,
what do you do with your 7-year-old daughter who's going to do or whatever, whoever it was? But yeah.
Yeah. And so the department received 15 complaints from parents, and one parent suggested it was really, really demeaning to women. So my question was, and you can go off on a rant here, when do these jokes and pranks go too far? And what's kind of the limit of quote unquote letting off steam after, you know, when it's your final year in high school?
And I'll give you the disclaimer up front that I was a high school teacher for 10 years.
This is why I was interested in having Dad talk about this.
And I went to high school, and I'll tell you a couple of stories about Muck Up Day at my high school.
So you had it back in the 1800s.
We did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We rode the dinosaurs to school.
So this would have been back in the 70s, right?
It was, 1975. So I'll come back to that one. I think there are, like, every year in many places, there are going to be people who go over the top, whatever that might mean.
Especially teenagers. You're finding the limits.
Exactly. And look, this is, and I'm not going to pick on Mallacoota College, but it's a co-ed school. Whether it was only boys who were involved, whether it was girls who were involved, I doubt whether it was only boys, but it doesn't matter what I think. Yeah. This one was clearly an age-appropriate thing if it had been done with a bunch of 17- and 18-year-olds and a few of their teachers just generally fooling about because they would have got a laugh out of it. But when you've got a school that has, you know, everybody from 4 to 5 at this time of the year, 5 years old to 17 or 18 years old, it is clearly inappropriate to be doing that sort of thing. Yeah. So, and that's just one example. The one that Pete started with is where you've got a bunch of, you know, a small group of boys who are effectively challenging each other to break the law to win points with each other, then that is clearly way over the top. Typically, though, your average muck-up day involves a large amount of wearing ridiculous costumes that very quickly get covered in shaving cream and eggs flour. And that's all good, not so clean fun. Yeah, you know, it's just kids mucking around and going, this is our last day of school.
That was pretty much how I remembered my muck-up day, and this is what I was going to sort of chat to you about after it. My question was, how were your final year celebrations? But mine were definitely- there would be people who would dress up as the girls, or the guys would come as the girls would come in guys' uniforms, you know, they might trade them, or you would just dress up in, you know- costumes or whatever, but then there would always be the shaving cream, flour, eggs, and water if you really wanted to be
fire
horrible.
Hoses used to come into it.
Really? I don't think we ever had that happen.
And that's illegal, but hey, a fire hose is just
asking for it.
Water at high velocity. Look, and a couple of examples of things that went on at the unnamed school that I attended in the 1970s. And some of these you sort of sit there and shake your head at and go, you know, you're 18 years old. You must have been thinking this was inappropriate. One kid brought a chain and a padlock to school and locked the school gate.
Yeah.
At about 3 o'clock in the afternoon after we'd all gone. And then, so every teacher in the school was locked in. And there was only one exit.
It's a car park inside
the school. And there's only one exit.
That's clever.
It's clever. It's cute. And it's-
Somebody get the bloody chain.
But at the same time, you go, if there's an emergency, then what do you do? But it's fun and it was funny. And those of us who were 18 years of age, of course, the 17-year-olds didn't attend the hotel of our choice at the end of the day. But the 18-year-olds who were legally allowed to drink went down to the pub for a few drinks afterwards. And most of the teachers who were victims of this prank came down. Some of them even walked before getting their cars out of there and just went, ah, ha, ha, we'll buy the drinks.
Give us the key. Yeah.
No, they were fairly entertained by it. One of the things we did do, though, was one of the teachers, who was one of our favourite teachers, a really cool guy, who drove the smallest car in the universe, and I can't remember what it was at the time.
And like a Mini or something, Bean's car.
Yeah, it was even smaller than that. I can't remember what it was, but it didn't matter because four of us could pick it up. And so, four of us picked up the car and put it into the main corridor inside the school and left it there. So, not only could he not get out the gate, but he couldn't even get the car down, because the main corridor, you had to go up about six stairs to get into the corridor. So, four of us could carry this car up. Now, I presume a few of his mates, so there were teachers there, got it out for him. But so, there's a bit of that shenanigans that went on. But mostly, we just fart-assed around at school for a couple of hours with the flour and the eggs and the carry-on.
Because it's a day where you don't have to go to classes, I think, or at least there are classes.
There are no classes on. And we just went to the beach.
And it's your turn
and washed
to
off,
muck
and
up,
washed
right?
off the flour and the eggs. And yeah.
When it's hard, because it's kind of like, it's one of those things that must be so difficult to try and break, because I remember always getting harassed by the year 12s on the bus or when you arrived or left school on muck up day. And so, it happened in year 7, in 8, in 9, in 10, 11, and then you finally get to 12 and you're like, it's my turn,
it's
bitches.
My turn.
It is my turn. And it's not fair, because you're kind of like, well, someone hit me, so I'm hitting some other guy and it's pass it on. But it is one of those things where it's like, it's a cultural thing, obviously.
Clearly. Yeah. And certainly when I was a teacher at high school, our message to-
Day off.
Yeah. Some of us joined in. But our message to the kids was, this is your chance to celebrate the end of 13 years of school.
Yeah.
Every other kid at the school will get their chance. Do not involve them.
Yeah.
And we treated it as a, like, make it exclusive. Yeah. Not- You're forbidden from throwing an egg at a, you know, year 10 student. It was more that they'll get their turn. You know, just keep it. And the principal at the time, you know, there were three principals when I was there, but one principal just, yeah, he wanted to ban it. The oldest.
Old school.
Old school fuddy-duddy.
I want to bring back beating the kids over the knuckles.
Well, yeah. Exactly. He just went, no, we'll ban it. And the few of the teachers, we'd just sit there and go, yeah, there's no point banning it. They're going to do it anyway. In fact, if you ban it, it'll be worse.
Mm.
But the others just went, you can do whatever you like as though under three conditions. You're only involving yourselves. And anybody who turns up is a willing participant. You're not going to break the law, and you do it on the school oval. You will not do it on school grounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. The oval was school grounds, but you won't come up into the buildings and into the areas
and
between the buildings
the place,
and vandalize the school.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of the time, the kids went, yep, cool. And they went down there and fart-assed about and fooled around and did their thing. And then mostly they just wanted to get out of the place after 2 hours. You can't fool around doing that stuff for more than, I reckon, about half an hour.
Yeah, boy.
And it just gets tedious.
Yeah. You're like,
Once you're covered in shaving cream, eggs, flour, and you've been wrestling the idiot who smacked you in the back of the head with something.
Well, you're not going to do it for 8 hours.
Let's get out of here, get clean up and go and have a drink or a party or whatever you're going to do. So, that was my experience as both a teacher and a student, and I think most of the time that's what happens. There are going to be the occasional idiots who deliberately do something wrong, and then there is always the practical jokes. And you will know this from experience, that I'm not a fan of practical jokes. I don't play practical jokes on people, and
unless it's your old teacher in a car.
that was a mild practical joke.
This is mildly inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly.
Where are three of my friends?
With three of my friends, and I wasn't the ringleader.
I just followed.
And, of course, the other three would say they weren't the ringleader either.
There was
Somebody came up with the idea, who was probably not one of the four of us who picked the car up and moved into the corridor.
Yeah.
But I'm not a fan of practical jokes, because practical jokes will always go too far. And whereas if you are a willing participant, if you're in the- Yeah, the school principal has said, you can go down to the school oval and you can do whatever you like as long as it's consented and it's not illegal. Then anybody who turns up on the school oval at 9 o'clock in the morning on that day knows what they're going to get. Mm-hmm. They're a willing participant. But it's the ones that aren't the willing participants that effectively, practical jokes for me is just another word for bullying. And so, I think you've got to draw that limit. And a lot of times, it doesn't.
Well, there was someone-
Here who- endeth- The rant.
There was someone who ended up in a lot of hot water recently in Australia, who was the sort of social media prankster. And there's a group of guys that were always pulling pranks on one another. Mm. And I think the prank that got him into hot water was that his friend went away on a holiday, and then when he came back, found that everything in his apartment had been sold. And it got the news, and that was when I think everyone was like, dude, too far.
Yeah.
Because he was like, where are my high school photos?
Yeah.
Where are all these personal things? And the guys were like, that's part of the joke. And he was like,
it's no longer
what?
A joke.
Yeah. But again, it's hard because, I mean, in that sort of thing, to feel sorry for the guy, you do. But at the same time, you're like, dude, you were involved in so many of these other jokes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
And look, my favorite one of these, which was a- a wedding practical joke. This was the Bucks party practical joke. And I wasn't involved, and I actually never even knew the person. This is a secondhand story, which I'm told is true. And even if it's apocryphal, it's such a good story, it doesn't matter. There's a guy who had his Bucks party the night before his wedding. Never do that. And
you don't want to show up to your wedding wasted.
Exactly,
Oh, my God.
And, cut a long story short, he and his mates had been out drinking and generally fooling around. And he lived in Melbourne, and he woke up the next morning in an airport in Queensland. And he had no idea how he got there.
And he was naked.
And he had his underwear on, but that was all.
I can't imagine you'd be able to do that today. They would let you onto a plane.
However, right?
Unless you were the pilot and you snuck him into the cockpit.
Exactly. There's no way. This is in the 70s. There's no way that you could do this now. However, the punchline is, he was left to sit there in the airport for a while, pondering his future, trying to, because this is before mobile phones or any of those mm-hmm. things, because he had no money, he had nothing.
How do I get on Facebook again? Wait 30 years.
How do I find a phone that I don't have to put money in and call my soon-to-be wife, maybe, if she will accept me still, to tell her that there's no way I'm going to make the wedding because I'm in Brisbane. And
too far.
Too far. However, the punchline is the person who rescued him was his soon-to-be wife, who said, "Aha, gotcha."
Oh, really?
Our wedding is actually in 2 weeks' time. We're going on our honeymoon before the wedding. And the reason I did this is because I knew your asshole friends would pull something like this, so I joined in.
Jesus.
And so, he was the only person who didn't know that his wedding was in 2 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. So, they went off on their honeymoon in Queensland and then came home and got married.
So, short story, be the one who organises the wedding date.
Yeah, exactly.
What I was going to ask you, do you think that social media has made things worse in terms of muck up day and schoolies and this kind of-
Yeah, look, I think social media has made a lot of things worse, and we've had these rants before. But I think from the point of view of the practical joke, and the things getting out of hand.
To pause you there, originally, I would have thought, the practical joke is kind of like, okay, I'm trying to do a joke with a small group of friends, lol. Mm. Now, it's videoed and goes to a wider audience so that you have a thirst to try and get-
That's right.
And go crazier and crazier and crazier. But also, it gets you to go further and further and further and do things that you would not necessarily have ever done.
Because there's that-
It's like
that,
chasing a drug
There's the- post-event social media thing, which just drives people to be more ridiculous because they'll get more hits and more shares and so on.
And it's never gone.
No, it's there
forever. So, that's the thing too, right? And you've humiliated someone and it's permanently on the internet.
And, that's right. This person in 5 years' time is going to be applying for a job somewhere and somebody
here's
goes,
a video of him getting urinated
Ian
on.
Let's search Ian Smithson and go, oh.
No, we'll pass up
no,
on
we'll
him.
No, we'll pass on him. Yeah. And, look, I think the other side, the pre-event social media issue that I have- is that things get out of hand before they've even happened.
Mm.
Is that all you need to do is go, hey, Pete, I've got this gag we can play on somebody. Yeah, let's turn up tomorrow at the pub and blah, blah, blah. And you go, oh, yeah, I'll share that with a couple of my mates. Well, I need a couple of supporters. They share it with 5 people. They share it with 20 people. All of a sudden, you get 200 people who turn up and it's a riot, literally.
Trashing the house.
Yeah.
Well, that only started happening,
the house
I take.
Or, whatever it happens to be.
That only started happening, right, I take it, when I was sort of finishing high school, when social media was sort of in its birth, right? Yeah it was YouTube. No, what was it called again? MySpace, right?
MySpace.
And we were just starting to get phones at that age and text one another with the Nokia 3310.
Yeah, and these are pre-smartphones, so you didn't have access to the internet.
Had Snake on the phone.
It had Snake, text, and a phone.
I know. I think I got internet in the- in university, I think, and it would have been really clunky.
Yeah.
But,
So, I think that whole social media thing is that things get out of hand much more quickly with social media.
Well, and that's the thing that's interesting. I've been watching a bit of Joe Rogan recently where I think he was interviewing Tristan Harris, the guy who did Social Dilemma.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how social media is affecting us because we're constantly looking for validation.
Oh, yeah.
And monitoring ego metrics where you're constantly looking at how many shares or likes. And I have to try and remind myself to stop doing this with things that I do because it is an indirect kind of measurement of how well you're doing in terms of exposure. But it's easy to get caught up in it and to think less of yourself as a result.
There's part of that that is about, and the whole, open brackets, begin rant. Anybody who calls themselves a social media influencer, come down here and I will punch you in the face. I'm going to break the law and take the risk because I reckon-
incitement to violence?
No. This is not incitement to violence. This is an insight to become a victim of violence. The whole concept of a social media influencer is bizarre to me.
Which is ego, right?
But it's that if I've got 200,000 followers, then somebody is going to pay me to talk about their product because I've got 200,000 followers. Not that I'm an expert in this product. And there are genuine social media influencers.
To pause you there quickly, my friends, girlfriend back when I was in Melbourne, so this would have been at least 3 years ago, had done exactly that, where she had just posted scantily clad images of herself.
Oh, yeah. Women have bikinis. A huge advantage in this because men are idiots.
She did this for a few years. She built up, I think, a following of, it was 100, 200,000 people, and then all of a sudden was like getting $5,000 for a post about a watch, a man's watch, or $5,000 to a post on some cream.
If she had been advertising women's lingerie, great. She's effectively turned herself into a lingerie model, which she has some apparent talent, some level of expertise in that she can actually put it on correctly, and people are willing to follow it. That's fine. I have no objection to people who have some level of expertise in a particular discipline who wish to go on there and influence others to do the same. And I do the same. I've got a few thousand followers on landscape photography on YouTube, and I get offers of, can you talk about this? Can you do this? Can you do that? I don't call myself a social media influencer. If I had 500,000 followers, I might. But
even then, though, it's kind of so arrogant to say I'm an influencer. What does that mean? I might have one follower and I can be an influencer.
If they buy something, I've influenced them to
Even if I just get them to listen to my podcast. I've got one listen. I've influenced one person to listen to my podcast.
You only got an influencer if they came back the second time or told somebody else to do it. So, there is that whole thing about, social media becomes that egocentric thing. I think if you're in the business of social media for some financial purpose, then the ego thing sort of goes away.
Yeah,
there's an element of ego in there that allows you to do it in the first place. But, if I were in that business, I go, I've had 100,000 hits today. I'm interested in that because I'm making thousands of dollars out of that.
Well, I want the post to do well. I guess at the bottom rung, it's kind of like ego-wise. Mm. I want to know that I put something out there that did well. Above that, I want to know that I put something out there that helped people or interested them or put a smile on their face or whatever.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
Above that, it's money.
Yeah, but in all of those cases, there is an external motivation for you to do this.
Yeah, it's not just-
It's not just like I'm a semi-professional landscape and wildlife photographer. I put stuff up on Instagram not to sell me.
Yeah.
I just put it up there because-
then you'd do it in bikinis if you were selling you. You
know? I would. And I'd have six followers.
You never know. You might get thousands.
The odd person who likes a 60-plus old bearded fat man. But
it's a niche.
It is a niche. It's a very small niche.
Or a really big niche.
Or a really big niche, yeah. But I don't put stuff up on Instagram as a for any external motivation. I do it just purely and simply to say, because people say, can we see some of your photographs? Yes, you can go to my website. But I don't put every photograph I take up on my website. I don't put every photograph I take up on Instagram. But I'll try and put something up. If I'm active, doing a lot during a week, I'll try and put something up every day. So, it's just, hey, here's something I did today, and I'll talk a little bit about it. But frankly, do I care if I have, from a commercial point of view, if I have one hit or 1,000, hits or 27 comments or 2,000 comments? I don't care. But the ego part of me says, oh, I'm going to check this 12 hours later. Oh, 20 people have liked it. Tomorrow, 200 people. Oh, this is a success.
Yeah.
But that's just pure ego.
Well, and it's
because
hard.
I have no motivation to do it. For any other reason.
That's the way you want to be, where you're not doing it because you want to get more attention. I guess you're more just like, oh, yeah, cool. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But I think it's very difficult. There are people, and Joe Rogan was talking about how people sort of lean in to something. He was saying that with some of the comedians that he knows, they suddenly become right-wing comedians, where that's all they talk about and make jokes about. And it's kind of like that, to keep dropping names. I can't remember who told me this. I think it might have been my supervisor. And he was saying that the story was effectively that the psychology students at a university had a lecturer who was doing, giving lectures. And every time he went to further left in the room, they would pay more attention and be more involved to the point that he was standing at the door and giving the lecture to see what they could do to him. And I think Joe Rogan was talking about how if you start getting attention and you start getting feedback, positive feedback about something, people often go that way. And you have to kind of try and notice when that's happening or avoid it because, you know, that's how people you would imagine. That's how, I mean, to really draw the extreme, that's how Hitler became Hitler, right? Mm. You imagine the guy originally was a lot of positive feedback, and then a young adult, and then when he was finally becoming extreme, it was like, how do I get more feedback that's positive and that just kept going in the way of let's kill the Jews, you know, or the Jews are the problem.
Yes.
And so, that's the kind of thing that you can do that in a good way and you can do that in a very bad way, and especially when it's just egocentric and it's useless. It's kind of like, well, why would you do that? And that is probably why so many children today are so depressed.
Yeah,
social media, because they're so worried about these metrics and this feedback that they get from their peers.
And a lot of the- and it's not passive. A lot of it is actively negative.
Yes.
So, yeah, not getting positive feedback is passive. But when you get negative feedback at the same time as not getting positive feedback-
The problem with that too is that particularly, it can be at a ratio of 100 to 1.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
And the negative feedback is way more important than the positive.
I've got, and I'll just use me as a really bad example. I've got a couple of videos on YouTube that have had, you know, 50,000 views, 1,000 comments, a couple of comments that are really negative.
Yeah.
And I'm, the fat old 60 plus- with an ego the size of Texas. So, I don't give a shit if somebody doesn't like what I do. But I sit there and imagine and go, if this is somebody who's new to this business and comes along and they're trying and they get 1,000 people going, yay, thumbs up, like, and two people going, this is crap. Why didn't you do such and such? Mm-hmm. What's that going to do to them personally and professionally? Now, if you take away that as a professional thing, what's this going to do to a 13 or 14-year-old girl who's got-
Who's put up a photo of herself.
Who's got issues about herself. She's put up a photo and go, oh, you fat bitch, get off the- What are you doing on- Yeah. Well,
that's the and sad that thing too,
just
right?
becomes-
Children don't-
Terrible.
You know, and I was the same. I was horrible as a young teenager. You don't understand the degree to which your words and everything harm other people because obviously you're a child, you're still learning about this stuff. And then later on in life, you're just like, Jesus Christ, you know, you, that's why you don't see adults walking around calling people horrible names in the street.
No. Well, you develop it, you develop empathy by being the victim yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting chat, Dad. Mm. Interesting chat. Went off on many tangents.
We do.
So, I can't even remember. Yeah, school is a muck-up day. To finish up, I wanted to define muck-up day. So, Australian slang for the last day of school before the annual examinations, marked by practical jokes and other student
pranks. He's reading this. Where's the authority for this?
Who knows? Probably Urban Dictionary or something.
Oh, yeah.
This is on my Word document.
Right.
And then schoolies or schoolies week. This was the best.
Which has been cancelled this year.
Yeah. Has it?
In most places. Yeah. Because of COVID.
So, I did schoolies. But schoolies, and I never knew it was schoolies.
We didn't.
I probably did know it was schoolies week.
When we were kids.
But it's a 3-week graduation festival celebrated by year 12 students. School leavers after exams from every corner of Australia. So, you effectively go away on a few days to a week
with your mates. And depending on where you live, you go to the Gold Coast and you're there with 10,000 of your mates.
It's pretty much an excuse to get drunk, go camping, hang out in hotels, go partying for a week long, effectively. Yeah. Get up to all sorts of debauchery or whatever.
Which is, muck up day after school, which is fine.
So, that's our kind of like, I guess it's our version of, what is it, the coming of age stuff in America where they go to Cancun or whatever it is, you know, the spring break.
Spring break, which is different because it's not end of school, but-
Yeah, it's our version of that. Anyway- Thanks for joining us, guys. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next time.
Look forward to the next episode where I do Idiot of the Week. Who is the Idiot of the Year? Trust me.
Yeah.
Peace.
Alrighty, you mob. Thank you so much for listening to or watching this episode of The Goss. If you would like to watch the video, if you're currently listening to it and not watching it, you can do so on the Aussie English TV channel on YouTube. This is different from the main channel. You'll be able to subscribe to that. Just search Aussie English TV. TV on YouTube. And if you're watching this and not listening to it, you can check this episode out also on the Aussie English podcast, which you can find via my free Aussie English podcast application on both Android and iPhone. You can download that for free, or you can find it via any other good podcast app that you've got on your phone, Spotify, podcasts from iTunes, Stitcher, whatever it is. I'm your host, Pete. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you have a ripper of a day, and I will see you next time. Peace.